W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Debt ceiling discussions continue on Capitol Hill. Representatives for President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy will be talking, even though McCarthy has said privately that both sides are far apart on spending. Ron DeSantis is expected to announce his presidential run today. The Florida governor is set to appear on Twitter with Elon Musk for questions and answers. South Carolina lawmakers have passed a bill that would ban almost all abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Here's ABC's Eva Pilgrim.
The South Carolina bill will require that pregnant women have two in-person doctor's appointments before receiving an abortion. 15 states have already stopped nearly all abortions. South Carolina's governor already saying he will sign this bill into law soon, making it 16, effectively creating an abortion access desert for women in the Southeast.
Today marks 1 year since the shooting at Uvalde, Texas, that left 19 fourth graders and two of their teachers dead. This is ABC News. A five-year investigation into the church abuse scandal in Illinois has found nearly 2,000 victims abused by more than 450 priests and lay religious people.
The investigation found four times the number of abusers than the church had identified, saying, quote, horrifying, criminal, and unconscionable acts were inflicted upon survivors. The report uncovering a disturbing but familiar pattern where child sex abusers were transferred between parishes, but their history of abuse was hidden from the Catholic community and the public.
That's ABC's Alex Perez in Chicago. A police officer in Australia is set to face charges after using a stun gun on a 95-year-old woman. Claire Nowlin was apparently approaching the officer using a walker and carrying a steak knife. She suffered critical head injuries when she fell. Netflix says it's time. No more sharing passwords. The company has sent out reminders that it will now begin cracking down on users who share accounts with people outside their household. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Great to listen to while having a Lineys and grilling some Sheboygan brats. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media. And don't forget the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mapnair. Here's what you need to know. If you're heading out of town for the long Memorial Day weekend, you will have plenty of company. AAA says over 800,000 Wisconsinites will be traveling this weekend, with the majority hitting the roads. And there's some good news for drivers. Gas prices are down about a dollar from last year. The record high for Wisconsin travel was in 2019, when 833,000 people left town for the holiday. St. Norbert Assistant Professor Ben Chan's 9-game winning streak and the game show Jeopardy ended last night. In the final round, Chan misspelled the name of a Shakespeare character by one letter. In total, Chan walked away with over $250,000. ESPN reporting the Milwaukee Bucks have narrowed their choice for a new head coach down to three. Ex-Toronto coach Nick Nurse, Golden State Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson, and Toronto Raptors assistant Adrian Griffin. I'm Jane Mantenier. This is Civic Media News.
Did you know Bratfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a brat tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't just about the brats.
You know, we have a kids zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone, just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers. 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used? 74 gallons. I'm Terry Ball for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job, but I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is with us. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, man?
Good morning. I'm halfway back from La Crosse, stopped over in the Dells because it was too late to drive all the way back. I had an event in La Crosse last night.
Man, are you ever home?
I'm home a fair amount, but I'm traveling a lot more recently because of all of our fights over the state budget and attempt to change what this gerrymandered legislature is trying to do to all of us.
So, Dr. Craig, for people who don't know, this is a critical juncture. Which way do you think this is going to go?
Depends how our side exercises power. It's on us, I think.
Well, let me ask you, where if they demand that we're going to have that there has to be a referendum, Dr. Craig, you know, and as the mayor rightfully is explaining that this opens the door that maybe it doesn't, people don't agree to it, and it means that the city of Milwaukee is going to fail. Where is our power at in that?
Well, the governor, at the same time, we're doing the shared revenue package, which is obviously closely related to the budget because it is spending, right?
Right.
Is also going to have a chance to veto not only the entire state budget, but any line item. So the governor has tremendous leverage. And what the governor needs to say is, if you're going to do something this bad to the people of Milwaukee, and it hits hardest the people of Milwaukee, Milwaukee City, and Milwaukee County, then I'm going to zero out a lot of your priorities in the state budget. And so we can actually negotiate because we have shared power here. We have a Democrat governor, rightfully elected because the state was not gerrymandered, and we have this legislature. If we're not going to find common ground, it's your way or the highway, then you're not getting your way on the state budget. And so, really, since they're willing to hold Milwaukee and hold the people of Wisconsin hostage, we have to respond with force. And he has the power to hold up things that they absolutely have to have.
You know.
I know it's not his preference, Earl.
Right.
It's not the way he would like to lead, but leaders have to adapt to the situation before them. The reasonable party you can negotiate with that Tony Evers wishes exists doesn't exist right now in the United States or in Wisconsin.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is absolutely going to fall on the shoulders of the governor. But, you know, you've got Robin Voss right now who acts like he's like McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy, with Joe Biden right now. And he's, you know, I'm in a position of power. And so we don't care what harm comes to people, but you're going to do it our way. And I don't know how he's not going to change, right? Devin Linehue at least shows some promise, some hope, right? That maybe, you know, because I haven't seen that part of it, Dr. Craig, before, where there was a Republican who was willing to push back, like Linehue is.
You raise a great point in this. We aren't necessarily to the point of Evers having to exercise all of his power, because the Senate would have to pass the Assembly version of shared revenue. And those two Republican caucuses and leaderships don't like each other very much. That is an open secret at the Capitol. And LeMahieu threw cold water on the idea of a referendum. So that means if the Senate won't concur, the Senate Republicans, they are not our ally. Understand that. They're not an ally of Milwaukee. Right. But they do not like to see Voss and the Assembly calling the whole tune. There may be other things they would do worse, quite frankly. We'll have to see what they come up with. But the division, at least at this moment on the Republican side, offers some opportunity here. And maybe even opportunity for the governor to come in between them, though Republicans are very good at not letting Democratic anyone do that. They have a great hiving mechanism. But so let's let that play out. I think it's very important that Governor Evers, when they did the first package, released it, had a press conference. He immediately said he'd veto in its current form. So that's the kind of leadership we need. But we had a lot of Milwaukee leaders stand out on the podium with them like they were getting something. And we've had mixed messages from some of the top Milwaukee leaders. They need to stand a little stronger, because if they act like they're hostages that will take anything to be set free, so to speak, then they're going to get a lot less. But they probably should be, working with the governor quietly. And the governor is the one who carries the big stick, right? But I don't know. David Crawley wrote an op-ed for Urban Milwaukee that read to me like a white flag op-ed, calling it a historic deal. And I don't know why he thinks that's helpful. He's just trying to cozy up to the people who are holding him hostage, right, in hopes that they won't hurt him.
You know, Dr. Craig, I'm glad you brought that point up, because when Robin Voss says the only reason we are having these discussions in the first place is because of the new leadership at the city and the county level, part of me immediately said, okay, is it the fact that he feels he can negotiate with Mayor Johnson and the county executive Crowley because they are young men in their early 60s who really are in an environment that they, even though they've been involved politically in some way, shape, or form, but now in this high-stakes poker game, are really qualified to even deal with. Is it safe to say that?
It's hard for me to tell. I can tell by the public positioning that Mayor Johnson and County Executive Crawley have wanted to not do what John Norquist did and pick a public fight, right? And with right. Republicans and tell them to, you know, take that highway out of town, so to speak, since they love highways. they really do. But and to be very, we want to meet, we want to talk, but it's just hard to me to tell. I think that I get a read. You probably know each of these men a lot better personally than I do.
I know them both well, but go ahead.
Yeah, and David is he's an extremely talented politician because he's one of the most likable people you've ever met, right? And he's always positive,
right?
I mean, he's always the guy coming into the room with a smile on his face and with a nice, with a good word for everyone. So he's an appealing person. Chevy, that he has all of those kind of like, you know, interpersonal manners, but I have a sense from him that he has a calculating political mind. I can't prove it. I just get a sense in having meetings with the meetings I've had with him, and I don't want to overstate it. There were in a few, but I'm an organizer, so I watch leaders like him very closely if I'm meeting with him. And so I don't know if Chevy, there's a deeper level of play with Chevy. I'm not saying there isn't with David. I just don't know about it, right? With Chevy, I see hints of it being there, but I don't know. Yeah, you know, he could be like a Lyndon Johnson in a pleasant package, right? I don't know. So he's a little more unassessed for me. I think David is pretty much,
readable, more readable.
Yeah, readable
person. You know, Dr. Craig, the fact that both of those young men are having to deal with what has been an ongoing problem in the city, in county, going back to, you know, county executive Chris Abley, and even before that, and Mayor Tom Barrett, they have had these same questions and issues and tried to have these discussions on the state level. They weren't able to get anywhere. And so I asked the question right away, if they were not able to get anywhere, why is Robin Voss in such a hurry to negotiate with the younger men? And we know that behind it, there's something sinister, right? I mean, it's not all of a sudden that Robin Voss found religion.
It's a little hard to tell. I think that Voss wants people he wants to be able to say he worked with these black leaders and therefore he is not anti-Milwaukee, right? He actually likes to have it both ways. The rumor in the Capitol is that Robin Voss has no intention of running for re-election because he thinks Donald Trump will be the nominee and that next time Donald Trump will be able to off him. He almost offed him with a right. candidate no one had heard of by announcing for him 10 days before the election or roughly. And so this could be Robin Voss's swan song if those rumors are true. But he really cares more about his reputation as a conservative, so he wants to be able to screw Milwaukee and have cover by saying that the black county executive and mayor were part of it and like what he did, right?
Dr. Craig, we've got to go to a break. Bill, hang on. We'll be right back. It's Wednesday. I mean, it's Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you. We'll be right back.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 58 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies, northeasterly winds, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Mainly clear again tonight, lows level off around 39. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow, highs around 63. Turning warmer Friday and Saturday, with highs from the low 70s to the mid 70s. Once again, high of 58 this afternoon, we should dip down to around 39 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 52.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
At 844-967-2789, text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, has joined us. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, Bill, how you doing? Thank you for the call.
Good morning, Earl. And keep playing that Chicago. If you had turned me on earlier, you would have heard me singing. But that would have dropped your audience to nothing because I can't carry a note in a suitcase.
Let's
talk about the.
Go ahead, sir.
Let's talk about the number two clown in Wisconsin who just serves right under the number one clown, Ron Johnson, and that's Robin Voss. My God, that man's DNA does not have to be in politics anymore. And when you said sinister and dealing with the younger politicians, of course he is. He's smart enough to know he's a minority, a big minority, getting bigger as a minority all the time. And he's losing his strength. He knows young people are objective enough to take the chainsaw to our current politics as they did in Tennessee. When they said, no, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We're done with all this scam and charades and all that. Voss has zero integrity, zero honesty, zero diplomacy. It's everything about who feathers his wallet. And now he knows his days are numbered. And he has to start trying to interact with these people where he can claim credit, but they're not that stupid. They're not going to let him get involved in something where Robin will say, well, yes, I worked together with these men. No, you didn't. You fought them every inch of the way. You tried to suck all the life out of Milwaukee, and now you want in? As you know, you've got a, that's the only way of you having a hold on anything. I'm going to hang up. What do you think?
Thank you very much for the call, Bill. Dr. Craig?
I hope Bill is right. I mean, I guess I'm having trouble, Earl, having a read on whether the Democrats I mean, Evers and County Executive Crawley and Mayor Johnson have a good strategy, or whether they're weak and divided. It's a little like the speculation about whether Biden has the debt limit, the debate under control, or whether he's made a number of mistakes, and who's being had in those meetings with Speaker McCarthy, which are going on right now. It's a matter of speculation. I heard a very good case that Biden is actually playing it perfectly, but I'm not sure. And I'm even less sure in Wisconsin with Evers, Crawley, and Johnson right now. I will say, Earl, there's some leverage, because I was at a budget listening session last night with a whole bunch of our members and with the state rep out there in a Republican district in Holman, Wisconsin, outside La Crosse. And folks there were outraged at what was being done by Milwaukee in this package. And these are not folks who live in Milwaukee or are particularly, you know, looking out for Milwaukee. Right. So I thought that was really interesting.
Let's go to Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Hey, Ken, thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. How did Milwaukee have a $150 million deficit? Do you know the reasoning behind that?
Yeah. Dr. Craig knows as well as I know. But we don't have enough time to go through it. It certainly had a lot to do with decisions that were made at the state level.
So, but $150 million deficit.
Well, a lot of it is the pension. Are you aware of that, Ken? A pension that the fire and police did not have to pay their fair share. Others who work, who received city pensions, had to pay a certain percentage of their what they made into that pension. But the state absolved the police and the fire from having to pay their fair share, you know. So amongst many other things, that Dr. Craig, you want to get.
I mean, this goes back to deindustrialization and Milwaukee being impoverished by government and economic policy and by things such as redlining and white flight. And a lot of the money of people who live in Milwaukee Metro are being taken out of Milwaukee and not contributing to Milwaukee, while they benefit from Milwaukee, folks out in mostly white suburbs. You can talk about that. You can talk about the fact that when these pension systems were created, it was assumed we'd keep hiring a whole lot of young public employees that would pay into it to pay for the retirees. And then we moved into an era of austerity where we reduced the number of public employees dramatically. And Milwaukee was forced to do so because the state has not lived up to its shared revenue bargain for a couple decades now and has been strangling the city for revenue. Milwaukee has less revenue authority in the other major city in the country, and this deal would give them even less as proposed. And so to say that's because Milwaukee has been imprudent or poorly managed, that's just a conservative talking point. That's not reality. Milwaukee is key, is the engine of the economy of the state of Wisconsin, a key engine, and is also the most diverse and largest city in Wisconsin, and the whole state benefits from it and is harmed by anything that harms it. So this idea it's Milwaukee's fault and so let them drown in it, that's just highly irresponsible and socially destructive.
All right, Ken, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. In 2789, we'll be back.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Debt ceiling discussions continue on Capitol Hill. Representatives for President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy will be talking, even though McCarthy has said privately that both sides are far apart on spending. Ron DeSantis is expected to announce his presidential run today. The Florida governor is set to appear on Twitter with Elon Musk for questions and answers. South Carolina lawmakers have passed a bill that would ban almost all abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Here's ABC's Eva Pilgrim.
The South Carolina bill will require that pregnant women have two in-person doctor's appointments before receiving an abortion. 15 states have already stopped nearly all abortions. South Carolina's governor already saying he will sign this bill into law soon, making it 16, effectively creating an abortion access desert for women in the Southeast.
Today marks 1 year since the shooting at Uvalde, Texas, that left 19 fourth graders and two of their teachers dead. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson is pleading with the state Senate committee not to make local leaders go to referendum to raise city and county sales taxes.
County council members are close to the communities they represent and can make informed and timely decisions on behalf of their constituents. A referendum, though, adds a significant element of uncertainty.
The Republican leaders of the Assembly and Senate disagree over the Milwaukee referendum requirement. A police dog in southwest Wisconsin is dead and its former handler is out of a job. Colt was a Monroe County canine officer and died of heat exhaustion after being locked in a hot car last week. Detective Alex Moss has quit the department. In sports, the Brewers blanked Houston last night 6-0. The rubber match is this afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go. Pony, let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home. Spinning wheel all alone. Talking about your troubles and you never learn. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel turn.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. On the line, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, you know, I know that Citizen Action is nonpartisan. And when we're watching, you know, the hostages that, right now, Kevin McCarthy is making of the American people. Man, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to even believe that people say I agree with that. That the average citizen is a conservative and they agree with what the Republicans are attempting to do with the debt ceiling. The very people who they claim to be supporting, they're getting ready to hurt. Help us understand that, Dr. Craig.
Well, you have to get into the current variant of conservatism that has taken over the Republican. It seeks maximum power, and it uses every piece of leverage. It violates norms, so it's willing to do things that previous parties, either party, would not do. And one of them, obviously, was not paying the country's bills. In this case, 40% of the bills are from the Trump administration. That's 40% of the national debt. So they ran up huge bills with a giant unfunded massive tax cut for corporations and the ultra-rich. And now they don't want to pay the bill, and they want to use it as leverage to gut everything we need to help middle class and working class Americans. And so it's like the state situation, Earl, in that Democrats need to realize the situation, be willing to step up, and use sufficient force and power to prevent it. And President Evers has signaled that by his willingness to use the 14th Amendment, which requires the president maintain the full faith and credit of the United States. The risk there, of course, is that they've also packed the courts with non-judges, with politicians in robes, right-wing ideologues, who might try to overturn the use of the clear language of the 14th Amendment that's available to Joe Biden. So we'll see what the question in these negotiations, Earl, is, frankly, what can McCarthy even get out of that caucus, given how many ballots did it take him, Earl, to get 15. His speakership, and how many 15. Deals did he have to cut?
Right.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. He has to pass it with Democratic votes. A lot of his own caucus will never vote to raise the debt limit, even though many of them voted to run up the debt massively because they increased the debt limit four times under Donald Trump and spent 40% of the national debt. If he's going to get Democrat, it can't be very draconian. But if that's the case, how many Republicans can he get? Because quite frankly, they're going to lose a lot of Democrats. Why would strong progressive members of the Congressional Progressive Caucus vote for adding work requirements? And the media has done a terrible job explaining this. It doesn't really give people jobs. It simply creates a whole lot of barriers to people getting benefits they need, like food assistance, like medical care. And so that if fewer people are able to use the program and are enrolled, it does nothing to make it easier for them to find gainful employment that works for them, that pays a living wage that they can get to, where they can hold the job, especially if they're people with disabilities who have children and therefore can't just leave them at home, aren't going to make enough to pay for childcare, and there aren't enough childcare workers because we don't provide childcare in this country like other developed countries. So I think that the question is, can McCarthy get something face-saving where he gets the claim as a victory, Earl, that the president negotiated with him one-on-one and improved his status, and then this all gets moved to the budget process? I think, in a way, Biden could win this without giving much away, but only if McCarthy can get enough Republicans to support the rational deal.
You know, Dr. Craig, this thought about, you know, punishing the people who are at the lowest ebb of our society is somehow going to making these people go to work is somehow going to impact and affect the budget deficit that we have is not even laughable. It won't even register at all on a Richter scale of the debt that we have. So to continue to push this charade and demand that this happens, if the American people should be made aware of it. It's not going to, and let's say they get their way with this, it's not going to change anything as it relates to the national debt.
Yeah, this isn't really about the national debt, Earl. It's about them not wanting government to play the essential role it has in guaranteeing opportunity for everyone and doing something, a small amount, to balance the incredible inequality our economic system creates, right? And the economic system, of course, is right. Also structured by politics and is not some sort of natural thing. And so they look, there's been massive spending and running up of deficits by most every Republican president since Reagan. And W. Bush and Trump had massive increases in the debt. Clinton reduced it, and Obama did, even though he had that great recession, far less to increase it than Trump or W. Bush. And the reason was it was huge tax giveaways, the people who fund their campaigns and they really represent. So they're not. So the media, and I just heard on the update, the bomb of the hour for your show, Earl, said that the Republicans want less spending and the Democrats want to protect social programs. They don't want less spending. They're for more spending when they have power, okay? And they for more spending on things they want to spend money on, tax breaks, military spending primarily, letting ultra-rich people and corporations off the hook for paying their fair share in our society. And so it's just irresponsible for media to call it objective to say that it's about spending or that they want to reduce spending. They want to hold what's left of the social safety net hostage with the debt limit and claim that it's about fiscal austerity and responsibility when it's not.
You know, Dr. Craig, so I understand that. What I don't understand is those people who side with the Republicans who are going to be impacted by this, the very people who say that the Democrats aren't this and the Democrats aren't that. And so we're conservative and they're the ones, for the most part, who are going to be hurt the most by this. They bought into this, and they allow a guy like McCarthy to spew that venom that he's talking about. Well, we want to make sure people go to work. We're going to be doing them a favor because once we make them go to work, they'll see just how good it makes them feel. I mean, that's nonsense. But yet people are going to be voting for that.
See, this is a contradiction that goes to the heart of conservatism, all conservatism, not just the malignant brand we have right now. There was a real question in the late 19th century whether conservative parties were going to be all in for mass suffrage, for making the vote universal within countries. And what the Tories in England were able to show is, because here's their contradiction, they represent the interests of the elite against average people. That is at the heart of conservatism as far as the way they see society and the way they see the economy. So what the Tories proved is that you could get a lot of folks on cultural issues to support an agenda that included economically benefiting those who were already wealthy and most powerful. And that's what Toryism was, but it wasn't. Now it's sort of become more and more of a malignancy where it's much more extreme, almost a comic book version, right? But that's at the heart of conservatism. And the problem we have is that this is the first conservative party in a modern, mature democracy that has actually turned against democracy itself because it doesn't think it can hold a majority. And so that's why you're seeing the gerrymandering we see in the state, why you're seeing the packing of the Supreme Court, why you saw the attempt to overturn the 2020 election. And so this contradiction is the heart of conservatism, but it's always been clear that there were a lot of working people that were willing to vote on what they hated, cultural cleavages, and overlook or not understand and not focus on their own economic interests. That's the and the challenge for any progressive party is to get them to understand their economic interests and to cut through and defang the cultural wedges put up by conservatives. In a way, this is a more toxic version of what's been going on since the late 19th century in all representative democracies in the West.
You know, Dr. Craig, you kind of talked about the same medicine on the state level as well as the national level as it relates to Tony Evers and the way he handles this and President Joe Biden and the way he handles it. Is it safe to say having stern leadership on the state level and on the national level is the answer to push back on these people? Because you keep hearing people say, well, you've got to be able to work together. And Democrats have been trying to work together, Dr. Craig. It's just true. And these people just refuse to work together. They don't want there to be any harmony in the country. They want this divide to remain. And because if it's not their way, they don't even want to have the conversation.
I think it's a two-step, Earl. I think a lot of people still hope for, wish for some bygone age of bipartisan cooperation working together, though it's always been oversold. It's just now it's even more oversold, right? So I think that a leader like a Biden, like an Evers, needs to take all the steps of trying to work with them in a way that the public understands that they wouldn't, and then uses the necessary power to prevent them from just taking over. Because what happens to President Biden if he signs off on this hostage deal, or to Governor Evers if he signs this budget, is he's handed over the government to people who don't even represent a majority, who are just using all their power to get their way, and what they're going to achieve is they're very damaging, and they will blame the sitting Democratic governor or president for it. I mean, one of the Republicans said the quiet part out loud that if they crash the economy now over the debt ceiling, that Biden will be blamed because he's president.
Right.
So that's why you can't let it happen. Even you also can't let it happen because a Biden and an Evers actually care about what happens to people and are in government to serve people, unlike their opposition.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin. They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Baseball and hot dogs, they go together like front porches and rocking chairs. And with Village Hearth Buns, you don't have to go to your local ballpark to enjoy a really good hot dog. Just grill up a package of quality Franks and serve with your favorite toppings on a Village Hearth Bun. They're the same delicious buns served at baseball stadiums throughout the Midwest. Village Hearth Buns, baking our best for you.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the
Here's
Civic Media app.
Forecast. Highs level off around 58 this afternoon. Under mainly sunny skies, northeasterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Mainly clear again tonight. Lows level off around 39. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow. Highs around 63. Turning warmer Friday and Saturday with highs from the low 70s to the mid 70s. Once again, high of 58 this afternoon. We should dip down to around 39 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 52.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
Show this morning on the line, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, I want to switch this up quickly in this last segment and get your opinion on things. Target is removing certain items from its stores and making other changes to its LGBTQ plus merchandise nationwide ahead of Pride Month after an intense backlash from some customers, including violent confrontations with its workers. Since introducing this year's collection, we've experienced threats impacting our team members' sense of safety and well-being while at work, Target said in a statement on Tuesday. Dr. Craig, what have we devolved into as a nation that we now are in a full assault and attack, some of us, on American citizens, and somehow this is acceptable? You know, we've gotten to this point, and it is factual that this is coming from the Republican side of things, conservative side of things. And why is this being tolerated, Dr. Craig? The threats that are happening to, whether people like it or not, American citizens. And somehow they want to talk about the Constitution, right? Come on.
I think I hadn't heard about the Target thing. That's outrageous. And I'm just thinking that they're a Twin Cities-based corporation, so they could face a lot of pressure on the home front for pulling back. I think, Earl, to take a step back, I think we've all been blindsided a bit, though we probably shouldn't have been, about the right's ability to make LGBT plus folks again a target, right? With
right.
trans folks being the new scary thing that no one understands and needs to be addressed, since we have the strong support for gay marriage now. And I say that as a gay man, I have been surprised. But I guess we shouldn't be. They're always trying to repackage division and hate. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised by corporations who are always fair weather friends, are always about their big profits. And so they see a way to monetize, you know, the acceptance of LGBTQ plus folks, right? And then they see a backlash against it, then they retrench, right? And we saw the same with Walgreens, where it's kowtowing the red states and not offering in many blue states, the abortion pill, right? Just to kowtow the red states. And so that these folks will do the right thing when it's profitable. They'll try to commodify anything. They, You can see, remember how they tried to commodify the civil rights movement, MLK, even the Black Power movement, and make it something it wasn't, right? It's the same thing. But it is amazing how resourceful and effective conservatives can be in finding a way to by testing and testing to foment outrage. And so since they've gotten traction and kind of a moral panic around trans people, did you see the ad that was run against Janet Protasiewicz?
Yeah, I did.
On the trans issue?
Yes, I did.
I mean, it was a total lie. It claimed that the school district had actually, without the parents' consent, changed the sex of, I think it was a young woman into a young man. None of that was true, and that Janet Protasiewicz supported it. She had nothing to do with it. There's no comment on it whatsoever. It has nothing to do with her. And the ad actually had a, I think it had, a, if I'm remembering correctly, it had a girl becoming a boy, like with animation. It was just designed to horrify their base and drive them into a frenzy. And they're going to do this in this election. That is kind of the difference, Earl, between Trump and DeSantis, who was announcing today, Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis specializes in this kind of cultural wedge. Actually, Trump does not. Trump actually does not use the LGBTQ plus issue very much at all. In fact, Trump has even showed himself to be a little unreliable to their side on abortion, so, kind of like trying to play it both ways.
So, Dr. Craig, let's go to the phone lines and let up Ron quickly from Milwaukee. Ron, you say what?
Yeah, I think the background of this, which the doctor was just talking about, is that the conservative movement has worked very hard and succeeded in normalizing hate speech, even though there are laws against hate speech. It's now normal out in the streets to conduct people themselves that way. And then the next step, inevitably, and we're already seeing this as well, you know, if hate speech is okay, then physical hateful reaction to things we don't like must be okay too, because we have these guns, we have leaders like Trump saying it's okay to go beat somebody up, and so that's the next place we're going, unless we can head this off.
Hey, Ron, thank you very much for the call. CJ, quickly.
Yes, thanks, Earl. Dr. Craig, the Democrat Party's the one that's driving these social issues. And
No. The Democratic Party is not making threats to LGBTQ people, CJ. It's not. It's people from the right.
XY and XS to compete against each other. The Republicans have stood up for fairness and women and girls.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Dr. Craig.
I don't know. I guess it's like saying the Salem witch hunts were standing up for women and girls. what can I say?
You know, Dr. Craig, we've got to face these things in this country, don't we?
We do. Sometimes you have to have a little humor and throw your hands up. But there's a difference between exploiting an issue, exploiting bigotry, right, and then making something up, making it much more than it is, right? Making it a moral panic deliberately, and actually representing folks who are looking for their own freedom, emancipation, right? To control their own bodies, to control their own destinies. They're not the same thing. And I understand what CJ is saying, that LGBTQ plus people are more likely to vote Democrat because Democrats are going to look out for their rights. Yeah. That's a legitimate way to get votes. An illegitimate way is to scare people about a non-existent threat in order to distract their attention and anger them so they don't vote, they don't actually consider
it. We got to leave it there, Dr. Craig. Thank you very much. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. I'm out. We'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. Tomorrow, you've been tuned into.
Great. It's yours.
See you then.
Nathan's tiki-themed bar is swimming in end-of-year party bookings.
Where can I find that many servers? They want headlamps? And I'm going to need to find a band.
He needs caterers to navigate the rising tide.
No, Mario, not your cousin's cover band.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
Over on.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis.